Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University. And yes, we're back. I'm a clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And our topics in Love University is basically love. It's how to love yourself, others, and higher nature. And it's basically how to have, you know, the best relationships with yourself, you know, your self-esteem, and also with other people in your life, whether it's romantic or work or even your family, and also how to reach that higher level where you can achieve your dreams. And each week we often have guests come on, and tonight we have a very special guest, and I'm very excited to have a gentleman named Carlos Cavallo, who is a dating and relationship expert. He's worked with men and also now with women to help them find love in relationships. Carlos, welcome aboard.
Hey, great. It's great to be here, Alex.
Yes, fantastic. And Carlos, I know you have a wide variety of experience. I know you've worked with men in the past. Now you're working with women as well to help them find love in relationships. I also notice you're a black belt in martial arts, so we better be careful with you. What's your style that you do in martial arts?
My style is called Shaolin Kempo.
Shaolin Kempo. Now, I've done Shaolin Kung Fu and Kempo Karate. Is that like a blend of the two?
It's very similar, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I know martial arts teaches discipline and a lot of confidence, which is an important trait. Now, think about with women. Let's say, you know, we have a lot of women listeners that are looking for their soulmate, their prince charming, et cetera. And sometimes they run across an issue of, what kind of man should I date? We have the so-called bad boys or the ultra-confident, alpha males. And then we have the more sensitive, kind of quieter, kind of so-called nice guys. What do you think is best for a woman to be with?
Well, I think in terms of archetypes, definitely a woman is going to be attracted to a masculine or male man. It's in other words, not the guy that's delivering your mail, but a guy that's acting the role of the man in the relationship. I get letters every day about women that are looking for just that sort of thing. There seems to be a lot of gender confusion about this sort of thing lately, but it's the same as it ever was. We're attracted to the opposite polarity. So a woman is going to be naturally attracted to certain traits in a guy. Confidence, the ability to decide is a big one, taking the initiative and the leadership. These are all traits that she's looking for.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, what about the so-called introvert or even shy male who's also very successful in his field? Maybe he's a scientist or a doctor, you know, and a good person. But he may not have those so-called qualities you're talking about. Is there something she can do with a man like that? Can she have a relationship with him that's successful?
Sure, she could have a successful relationship. She has to pay attention, though, that she's meeting some of her built-in requirements. A lot of women don't understand that even though they may be told on the intellectual level that they should want this or that, you know, a guy that looks good on paper is not necessarily going to do it in real life. So if she does have a guy that's maybe a little bit more cerebral, she has to, obviously embody as much of the feminine as she can to bring out as much of the masculine in him as she can possibly summon.
That's interesting because, you know, I do a lot of work with psychological types. You may have heard of the Carl Jung and Myers-Briggs on the personality types, and I've written some books, love types and so forth. And, there are the so-called thinking female who's more logical. There's a feeling male and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And, they might have different energies. And of course, we know the masculine, the dominant, submissive, or yin and yang energies. And some males have more yang, the so-called feminine energy, and some women have more of the masculine energy. So you're saying that you need to have a blend. You need to kind of like understand the person you're with and respect their style.
Sure. And, you know, there's certain areas where you may need more of one than the other. The guy like me, for example, I really need that kind of soft femininity that's very demure, not to be confused with passivity in any way, but of course, just very effeminate in terms of her style and her look, a girly girl. But for some guys, they may want somebody a little bit more tomboyish. It's all going to be a matter of taste in the end, but there are some things that are very in common.
Yes, that makes sense. Now, you know, I'm kind of curious about, you know, you, where you come from and your experiences. And, you know, many times people go through pain, you know, they go through a heartbreak or something, and that becomes power. They can learn a lesson from it. How about you? Did you have any pain experiences in relationships? How did you get to this point where you're now dating, coaching women and so forth?
Oh, absolutely. It's a great question because it's probably the key to why I'm doing this today, and yes. I've been doing it for over 15 or 16 years now. It all started actually with one blind date that I went on, or actually it was a double date, but a blind date. My friend had set me up with a friend of his, a girl that he had known, And after the date was over, I thought things went fairly well throughout the date, but, you know, still not as warm as I would have liked. And at the end, I just wanted to go in for a little hug to finish off the date and just say, hey, it was great hanging out with you. As I went for the hug, she did this cringe thing. And that was a pretty traumatic little thing for me.
She didn't slap you in the face, so that's a
yeah, that's always a, that's, and that's, you know, that's always a bonus, I suppose. But yeah, it was one of those moments where I'm like, you know what? I got to learn how this stuff works. There's got to be some patterns to attraction that I can learn. Mm-hmm. And that's what really put me on the path.
Okay. So would you say you had low self-esteem at the time, or did you grow up shy? What was your background like in life?
Actually, I've had pretty much exceptional self-esteem most of my life, sometimes to the point of arrogance. But my particular failing, if any, would be a slight oversensitivity and not enough paying attention to what I knew to be true on the inside and just acting based on my own principles and morals and virtues. I was too focused on trying to get the result rather than being the person who would bring out that result.
I see. So you're talking about being authentic to yourself, you know, being who you really are. And with women, do you feel that sometimes they try to be different? They try to impress a man, maybe, you know, let's say they're outgoing, but they try to be quieter and shyer, or maybe they're really introvert and they act like they want to be extrovert and go out a lot in the beginning. And then later they change when they get in the relationship and the male, you know, hey, what's going on? You're different.
Yeah.
What's your advice to women that, you know, are trying to impress a man and not really being authentic?
Well, that's what you said right there is excellent. It is one of those things that a guy is going to find very off-putting if he meets a woman under certain pretense and then suddenly her personality starts to morph before his very eyes. He's going to feel misled and really just downright deceived. So it really bears repeating that you want to be true to yourself, maybe a slightly more monitored, you know, you turn on that external that we call the witness, the person that kind of can take a viewpoint set aside from us and, you know, stay within those borders for a little bit and then feel free to be more and more open. Obviously, the key to really engaging somebody is a level of vulnerability.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. And the good thing about it, I know because you work with men in the past, so you kind of see it from both angles. And men, you know, need to approach a woman. Maybe they're shy or they have fear. And women, on the other hand, are afraid of having their heart broken and falling in love with the wrong man. And I think you mentioned that as well. That's one of the biggest fears that women have is falling in love with the wrong man. How do you advise women on that? You know, what can she do to prevent that big mistake?
One of the best things she can do is learn how to read men's signals. It's one of the things I talk about in a lot of my programs, which is the ability to really perceive what a man should be, first of all, you know, what is it you really do need in a man in your relationship? And then, of course, being able to spot those traits in a man who maybe, is doing the same thing she is, which is trying to put on his best forward-facing face when he's going out on a date. You got to be able to see what his character is, know what questions to ask, and know what kind of tells to look for in his behavior.
Interesting. So yeah, because in the love types approach, based on my books and guy types, we do talk about the magic questions to identify, you know, a person's personality type. Are they the philosopher? Are they the scientist? The performer? Meaning seeker? And then figure out, you know, if you match with that person. So what kind of questions do you recommend, Carlos, in terms of a woman asking a man to, you know, identify if he's the one?
Well, one of the best things she can ask is what I call power questions. They're probably similar to what you have women ask as well. Power questions are really just simple, really good conversation starter questions that will bring out information about him that she can then kind of process and look at. I'll give you an example of one that is really good is, so what do you feel like you want to do to change the world? Which, you know, it seems like a, wow, that's a big question on the upfront, but it communicates a lot of things too. It says that she's looking for a guy that's in that mindset. He's not just trying to get by and tread water. He wants to do something significant with his life and kind of lets him know that he needs to bring more to the table and also gets her to hear what his dreams and vision of the future is.
I like that. And that kind of, in my system, I call it the $1 million question, or what would you do if you won $10 million?
Mm-hmm.
And an imaginative person would say, you know, I would go to the Himalayas and meditate or start a nonprofit to, you know, help children. And a practical person would say, you know, I would save and invest or just enjoy it on travel and things like that. So it does look at the, I guess, the so-called big picture person versus the, you know, the day-to-day person.
Yeah.
So definitely is a good question. And any other questions you would ask? Let's say, I mean, because, you know, women often have a little bit of a checklist, right? You know, they're pretty detailed about what they're looking for. What else is an important question for her to ask? perspective?
Oh, definitely want to. You want to be indirect with your questioning. It's probably a more important thing to understand the philosophical take on what are you trying to do. You don't want to take too much stock in asking questions like, "So, how, you know, what are your plans for a family in the future?" Mm-hmm. She's going to get a very rehearsed response and something that she, you know, she knows that he's going to say just to say it.
I want 10 kids in 3 years, let's say. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then not many people run by that program. Yes. So better to ask other indirect questions like, "So, do you have any nephews or nieces?" And, you know, if so, what do you do with them? And she's going to hear pretty close to what it would be like if he were a father in a lot of ways.
I like that. So it's kind of like being a love detective, which we talk about as well, you know, getting indirect little clues.
Yeah.
And figuring out what they want. And, you know, one of my guests on the show talked about women who are kind of clingy and that kind of get too emotionally enmeshed with the man early on. Do you find that to be the case in your work? Is that an issue? Or what do you think that comes from?
It can be an issue. I think it's a bit of a cliche in a lot of ways. It's the cliche of the needy woman, when in fact it sometimes comes about as part of that dynamic that a woman engages in at the start of a relationship, where she doesn't necessarily reveal what she's really looking for. She puts on kind of a persona that is built around attracting the man. And then, like you were talking about, she starts to revert back to her real self, which we can't help but do. And the man feels a little deceived. He pulls away. She feels that disconnect going on. And that's the most panicking thing for a woman to experience in a relationship. And then there becomes this tug of war over the amount of connection. And that's where that neediness comes in. She's going to try and hold on to this connection that she built.
Interesting. Now, you do mention that men are distant to women. And some research shows that men tend to be concealers of their emotions. And part of that may be because that men may be more vulnerable in some ways. You know, they are hurt more deeply emotionally, even though they may not show it. Because for them, you know, that woman may be their only emotional support, you know, as opposed to she might have girlfriends or other people she can, you know, confide in emotionally. So what do you do if you're a woman and you feel that your man is pulling back? You know, he's not really communicating. And the more you ask him, the less he wants to. He doesn't want to go to therapy. He doesn't want to read self-help books or listen to Carlos or Dr. Avila. So what does she do in that case to bring him closer emotionally?
Well, one of the most important things to do would be to create that kind of safe environment right from the very start. Don't wait until there's a crisis to put your relationship in jeopardy before you try and implement something like that. He has to feel safe to be vulnerable with a woman. And that's an important step that a lot of women overlook. They may feel like they're being safe to him, but if in any way she's judgmental or critical or not accepting or unable to really hear him, because a lot of men don't feel heard by the woman in their life, if he feels that way, he's not going to feel safe, and she's going to be struggling to get him to come back or to even, you know, waiting, because really that's what it comes down to. She can't pull him back. That's never going to have a good effect on a man. Mm-hmm. She has to have the confidence in herself and the structure, that safe structure that allows it to be more comfortable for him to come back than to remain distant.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying even the so-called alpha males are vulnerable inside. You know, there's a emotional softness inside.
Oh yeah, every man does. Matter of fact, most men, as many authors and self-help authors and myself have talked about, is that men are very vulnerable and very sensitive and very emotional, but we are more guarded about it because we don't have the same socialization around those emotions. We are more protected about them.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Now, also the idea of, like, let's say maybe in the lovemaking area, you know, you want your partner to do something that he is not doing, and you might be a little embarrassed to talk about it. What's the best way to introduce that in communication?
Can you give me a little bit of an example of that?
Well, she wants a certain style of lovemaking, you know, that she enjoys, and maybe he doesn't do that, or maybe just more physical affection. You know, a lot of men don't want to cuddle after making love and things like that, and she might want that. So how does she ask for that? What does she need to do?
Well, one of the best things to do is, of course, to state her own needs in a way that's non-threatening to him. Start with, of course, that safe, emotional connection, that safe environment. She has to know how to hold that space around a man so he feels safe. And then she has to put it out in a way that's not implying or inferring that he is the one that is at fault in some way, or he's faulty, or, you know, he's to blame, because a lot of men feel that when they hear the way a woman will present her need can often sometimes sound like that. So she's got to be able to present it in a way that says, "Hey, you know what, hon, I want to let you know about the things that are really important to me, because I feel that we have something we're building here. And this is one of the things that's really important to me." And she can explain that kind of demonstration that she's looking for.
So say I want three cuddles a day Is that the way she says it? And if you do, I'll make you your favorite lasagna or something.
Yeah, quantifying like that might be a little harder, but a lot of guys will be open once they know what it definitely is. A man just simply wants to hear the explicit requirement rather than something that's hinted and sometimes, unfortunately, manipulated to get to.
Good point. Yeah, the hinting or the going around the bush, I guess sometimes it doesn't resonate with the male.
Exactly.
So she wants to be more direct. And this is an interesting point. Let's say that she's with a man, you know, they have maybe they're married, they have kids, you know, and there's some good things, but maybe there's some bad things in the relationship. Maybe he is financially irresponsible. Maybe he flirts a lot with other women. Maybe he doesn't give her attention. At what point should she leave him or drop it? And at what point should she stay?
Well, it's a difficult thing to answer for any relationship because they're all independent of that. But a woman has to know what those limits are in herself beforehand. I always encourage, and this is part of the work that I do with women, is encourage them to have these things outlined. A lot of women journal. It's one of the best things you can do for yourself is to journal your thoughts and your feelings and the things that are going on in your life. Journal the kind of man you want. And also, it sounds a little negative, but journal what it is you absolutely don't want and you wouldn't accept in a relationship. When you can project that you have those kind of boundaries, men will actually find you 10 times more attractive.
Okay. So there's some deal breakers, things that a woman just cannot have, you know, in a relationship. What do you think
Absolutely.
Are some deal breakers that she shouldn't put up with?
Definitely addictions would be something for her to watch out for because they can be so damaging. And many women, because of their natural nurturing behaviors, will want to or believe that they can have an impact there where sometimes they can't. They really just need to be able to walk away. One thing that's very important up front is to be able to analytically and critically look at a man and not put the blinders on just because you really are hungry for a relationship.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to assess those things that are going on with him and know which ones are immediately not meeting your requirements, which is why, again, come back to that list that you have of the things you won't take in a relationship.
Right. I think you call it the love goggles when someone has on like this kind of, rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, she sees everything that he does, in a good light, but then eventually the reality comes off. I call it the dating masquerade. The mask comes off.
Yeah.
And then you realize you're not really that compatible in some situations and sort of other issues. So you want the woman to be clear about what they really want. You said write it down and also what they don't want.
Mm-hmm. So they're very much so.
So they're looking at exactly what it is, kind of like a formula or a paradigm.
Yeah.
And, so let's say they're in a relationship and, so it's not growing. It's stagnating. What are some of the tips you might get to get it back on track?
Well, she's got to start with the conversation, of course, creating that safe environment with her husband, but express it as one of her needs. Is it something that she is expecting him to do? Is it something that she can take initiative and perhaps do? And then tell him a little bit about why. I can give an example. My own wife that has asked for that in a certain area, which is to take our kids to more exciting places. Since we've relocated up here in Oregon.
Ah.
And that was, it's great. She feels comfortable and safe to be able to express that to me and knows that I'm not going to just reject it outright.
So what's exciting up there? Do you guys go on a bungee jumping or something or river rafting?
Lots of trees, lots of trails, lots of outdoors.
So nature. Okay. So no Magic Mountain, spinning rides or anything like we did in
Yeah, there's a couple of good mountains here, but yeah.
I seriously. Okay. So that's open communication is important. And so let's say, Carlos, a little bit about you, let's say, what is one of your biggest investments you've ever made? Now, it doesn't have to be just some money, but it could be time or energy. Something you invested in that really paid off well that I think our listeners would really benefit from.
Well, the first thing I invested in, and I have ever since I was probably 19 years old, was investing in myself with programs and books and just investing in understanding myself and getting clear of the stuff that maybe I was carrying with me since childhood, just getting really, really clear in my own headspace and being the kind of person that's ready for a relationship. Unfortunately, we know that all too many people jump into a relationship as a way of escaping their own stuff. So that was probably the number one thing is to invest in myself. And then I got to a point where I don't have to do that anymore. And now I can take that time and that clarity and invest it in my children and my family.
Now, if your wife is listening, you should probably say, I invested in my wife, and she would like that, right?
Yep, she knows that every day.
That's probably number 1A, right? If not 1B.
Yeah.
That's great. So having a great marriage, how long have you guys been married?
We've been together over 11 years, 12 years now.
Oh, okay, great. And what do you think was special about her that made you want to tie the knot? Because sometimes, you know, men are resistant to commitment, and sometimes, you know, it takes a while. Was there something that made you want to go over the top and say yes?
Well, we had the devoted relationship beforehand, but that, yeah, the primary thing was the same thing I recommend women look at, which is don't look for compatibility in necessarily just in lifestyle or the music you listen to or the movies you watch. You should look for the compatibility of attitude, that you're both heading in the same direction and your compasses are pointing in the same way. That was something that I knew we were both on board with. And very important is your philosophy of how you're going to raise your kids.
I really like that. You know, you guys are really going to deep values, it sounds like, you know, like like-minded belief systems.
Exactly.
Now, I've had some guests on the show or people that say, well, but physical attractiveness, that's the key. You know, we have to have the chemistry, and that's number one. And there's research on both sides. What do you think of that? Do you have to have someone that's very attractive to you, or can it be somewhat attractive but good personality?
I think it's an and, definitely. I think you have to have both. You have to have the compatibility in that attitudinal way. And, of course, you have to have a physical connection or a physical attractiveness there. If you don't have that, I've seen a lot of relationships where it sometimes can spring up from just the compatibility aspect. Mm-hmm. But it's not something you want to leave necessarily to fate. It's better that you get both.
Okay. Wow. So you want the whole thing, huh? You want to give us the whole plate, the whole enchilada, as they say.
Yeah.
And if you were to tweet a little phrase out to people to help them, what would that tweet be?
Well, not much of a tweeter. I guess if I was going to, I'd say go on over to Carlos Cavallo's site and learn the truth about men.
Look at that little plug. Oh, okay. Well, that's one. Come on, Carlos. You can do better than that. Give me a little phrase that would be something that, you know, can inspire women or people in relationships.
Well, I have all my pet phrases that, you know, a lot of them are probably more good for guys, but one of my favorites is the one from Helen Keller, which is life is either a great adventure or nothing at all.
Mm, interesting. So what does that mean? How would you apply that to people in relationships?
It's, you know, it's the carpe diem, the willingness to really surrender yourself to experiencing your own life instead of letting fears define how far and how much of life you're willing to live.
I like that. Say it to me one more time so I can really resonate with it.
The saying from Helen Keller is that life is either a great adventure or nothing at all.
And wasn't she the blind woman that inspired people through her work?
Yeah, she was blind, deaf, and mute.
Blind, deaf, and mute. That's amazing. So it's kind of like almost an all or nothing is like you don't live by half measures, you're saying. You know, it's worth living
exactly.
Or not at all.
You've got to really, it doesn't have to be anything fantastic. You don't have to be the first person on Mars, but you want to be living your life to the limits of who you can be.
I really like that. And I would assume in relationships, it's to have the relationship that's your ultimate relationship, right? The best, you know, you can have and to really go for that.
That you're willing to bring that out in each other and not work from the place of insecurity where you have to hold the other person back.
That's pretty powerful. Now, Carlos, what are you excited about right now? Is there any projects you're working on, anything, you know, we'd like to hear about that you're doing in the future that's really good for you?
Well, right now I'm really excited about my latest program that I'm getting a lot of wonderful feedback on called Passion Phrases. A lot of women are finding that to be probably a very critical part of their toolkit in dating, which is knowing how to talk to men and exactly what words to say to men to get the results they want.
Yeah, like, you know, I've noticed in your materials, you have very interesting words you use, kind of a vocabulary that kind of inspires. And when I hear the word passion, you know, that kind of brings a connotation, right, of you know, something exciting, enthusiastic. Power phrase, can you give me an example of that? What does that mean?
The power phrase?
Yes, for example. What would be a power phrase a woman can use to win a man's heart?
Well, they're very personal. They're always very personal to the it's whatever has resonated most with you. The problem with a lot of sayings is that we hear them, but we don't embody them because they don't resonate with us. Okay. Whenever you read something that really does make you think and opens up your mind a little bit more instead of maybe shutting down what you think you're capable of and what's possible for you, that's something you should really anchor yourself to. I use those phrases in the past, like the one I gave you and, you know, many others that just reminded me that I can't let myself be held back by my fears. I just really have to let go of that stuff. And that's the place to focus.
Okay. But when you say power phrase, is that like a little subliminal message she gives to him, like a little statement, or what does that mean exactly?
Are you referring to power phrases within my program?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Power phrases like that are similar to the power questions, which are the phrases that will resonate with a man to get him to feel that passion, that willingness to be vulnerable and connect.
Okay. Let me try this. Dan, our producer here, you're a married man.
True.
What would be a power phrase, something your wife could tell you that would make you kind of enthusiastic or passionate?
Yes.
Yes? Yes to what?
You know what. Yes to, actually, well, for my wife, yes to anything.
Are you talking about making love, or are you just saying
sure, why not? Okay. Anything positive at this point. We've been married for, decades.
So being an affirmative, is that a good way to do it, Carlos, for her to say yes to things that he likes?
Yeah, very much so. I guess it really depends on where the woman's coming from, but men do get into certain patterns of sometimes trying to be realistic with a guy, but end up sounding like they're naysaying him. A woman saying something positive, saying that she believes in him and trusts him. Really, that's a really huge one. It's the trust and respect. A lot of women don't understand that that's how men feel love.
That's pretty powerful. So Dan, she says, yes, I trust you. Yes, I respect you. Unless we can make love tonight. How would you feel?
I'd be thrilled.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know if I'd lose consciousness necessarily, but
it might be close. Okay. It'd be like such a surprise, right?
Absolutely.
So that's great. So just by three phrases, Carlos, we can change relationships, you're saying, even marriages.
Definitely.
Simple power phrases. That's absolutely awesome. So I think it's been a very, very interesting talk today. I mean, I'm glad you come on board. You know, you have kind of almost a philosophical nature about you. I can see that you think deeply about these things. Mm-hmm. And that you really care. You know, you really want women, and also men, I believe, to have great relationships.
And, absolutely.
I'm happy that you have your own success story, too, that you can really, you know, kind of resonate with other people. And Carlos, now you're running kind of, I mean, not, you're in Oregon, you said?
Yes, I'm of Oregon.
Okay. So what made you leave from the, you know, beautiful California to up there in the cold winter?
Well, more time for my family, less stressful environment, and just a very peaceful place. Got a nice house by the woods, and very peaceful.
So you're going to invite us up there someday, right? We'll come up to see you.
Oh, and, sure.
We can do a little fishing or something out there. So, Carla, is there any – where can we get a hold of you? Any websites, any information? You know, our listeners would be interested in getting a hold of you.
Sure. If the women are interested in getting more information, I highly advise them to go on over to – my site, which is Dating Advice Guru. It's all one word, datingadviceguru.com. Or you can check out my YouTube channel and start with my weekly advice video podcast.
That's great. So fantastic. So today has been a wonderful lesson, you know, in helping women and also men, you know, find that true love and also to maintain it, which is important too, to keep it.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Avila here with Love University. We're not going to take our recess. If you want to reach us again, you can reach us at loveuniversity.love, our website with our blogs and information. Also, lovetype4u@AOL.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com. Also, 310-226-8090. Many thanks to Carlos. And
we look forward
to having you back sometime again in the future and to hear more
about
your great opportunities. Until next time, Love University. Put your pens and pencils away. And your laptops, and we're now in recess.